What? Hoyt, are you saying you don't want a national database that grants the federal government the authority to determine who can work and who can't? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Welcome back to the Jason W. Hoyt Show. It's time to take responsibility for liberty. As always, you guys can get the show notes and the links to all this stuff I'm going to talk about. If you go to jwhoyt.com, that's jwhoyt.com, fill that out. I'll send you all the stuff. So I posted this morning on Twitter, and I want to share this with you guys to generate some conversation here. I said, haven't we seen this movie before? I don't understand why so many, quote, on the right can't see the E-Verify slippery slope. Another federal database, this time it's used to determine who's allowed to work. Gee, what could possibly go wrong? Because we've seen this movie before. And actually, you know, it's interesting, you know, 10, 12 years ago, Tea Party days, there was a lot of people who were really pushing for and supporting E-Verify because of all the illegals here and this kind of thing. And so I know that they were really part of the Tea Party movement and all this. But now that we've gone through COVID, now that we've gone through the experiment that I think that the government wanted to see how far they could go with authoritarian rules without passing new laws, without following the Constitution. Judges across the country have deemed a lot of these mandates unconstitutional, saying just because there's a health emergency doesn't mean that you can suspend the Constitution. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Constitution. So we've just gone through this scenario where the government decided and called people essential and not essential, only essential workers. If you sell hammers and boards and nails in a really big store, you can stay open. If you sell hammers and nails and boards in a small store, you have to close. And people followed along. People said, oh, okay, I'll stay home. But I'll just go to Home Depot. But I can't go to my mom and pop hardware store. Where the federal government deemed some people essential, some people not essential. Said you have to stay home. And they followed that. Where the federal government used the stroke of a pen, not passing a new law, ignoring the Constitution, but using the stroke of a pen and ignoring the Constitution, and using the National Labor Relations Board, I think that's one of them, or OSHA or whatever, they were telling all employers, at least if you are involved in the federal government, if you get money from the federal government, if you're a hospital or something like that, you have to, all of your workers, all of your employees have to get a vaccine. Or if you don't, you'll be fired, removed. And they ignored religious exemptions. They ignored all of this. Even people saying, I don't want to. Even ignoring that, you have to be fired. So we just experienced all of that. And now there's a big surge at the border. There has been a big surge at the border. And now the border issue is kind of bubbling up to where people can't ignore it, although many still are. But because of that, the reaction is, well, we've got to pass some legislation. And within this, because here's the thing, I know what's going to happen, but I want to head this off at the pass. I want to tell you, illegal immigration border problem is a really big spectrum of an issue. And there's a lot of solutions to this thing. And what I am talking about is only one slice. That is, quote unquote, illegal workers, people trying to get jobs. And it is the E-Verify system. That is the E-Verify solution to the problem. That's the only little slice that I'm talking about. Yes, there's obviously fentanyl issues, drug cartels, terrorist cartels, human trafficking, sex trafficking, all of this stuff, criminal activity, repeat offenders, deporting, coming back over, repeat crime issues, terrorism, all this kind of stuff. If I tell you that I am against an answer to one slice of the problem, which is E-Verify, that does not mean I'm for open borders and for crime, for terrorism, for fentanyl, for sex trafficking, drug, all that kind of stuff. So don't put me in that bucket. I'm only trying to talk about this one little slice of the problem that they're trying to address. Because what I said in here, I said in my follow-up tweet, in the thread, I said, I understand the problem you're trying to prevent. I sincerely do. Maybe there's another way. I just don't trust them, the federal government. And they have a horrible track record of selling the need for something one way. Then once the devil gets his foot in the door, they use it, quote, for other purposes. And I put that in quotes on purpose. I don't know if you've ever read a bill. I highly recommend you read the actual text of these bills. Don't just believe somebody else's synopsis or summary of, or somebody's talking points or whatever they hear in the quote-unquote news. Don't just believe them. Go actually read these bills. When you do, you'll see that phrase all the time, and it upsets me every single time I see it. Here's the bill, bill number, here's the title, some fancy name, some marketing name to try to convince you just within the name itself. But then it says, it's to do this, 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 and then it says, and for other purposes. It always says that. And I don't like that and for other purposes because of the slippery slope, because of the other purposes they may use that bill for. So this idea, especially having been through COVID, of a national database, a federal database where it grants the government authority to determine who is allowed to work or not. Yeah, I ain't buying it. There's got to be another way. There has to be another way. And so Twin 66 responded and says, I hadn't really thought of this. Twin 66 responded and said, I hadn't really thought of this, but you're right. How can we solve the issue of illegal workers? So we've got to ask a series of questions to get to the root cause, to get to the real issue at hand. Because we hear E-Verify, well, we got to make sure they're here legally in order. I get that. But after what we've just been through, and if I may use my imagination for just a moment, which, you know, we all say this, we're running out of conspiracy theories because they're all coming true. But this, you don't have to have such a crazy imagination to think about this social credit system that's coming, combined with the digital dollar, cashless society, where they're trying to funnel all transactions into a few places. The Fed now is kind of the opening salvo of that. That's coming in July. But this idea of this social credit system where if you don't behave, if you don't do what the state wants you to do, if you try to work when they shut down the government, I'm sorry, when they shut down the country, if you try to work when you are not essential and they're going to monitor your transactions, right? And they may just cut off some of your funding. Or if they add that to the database of the people who are allowed to work and not work, oh, we promise we'll only use it for whether or not you're American or not, whether or not you're legal or not. Yeah, right. Whatever. That's that other purposes. That's that slippery slope. It doesn't take much to think that that might just be coming down the pike. But we've got to ask some questions here. She says, how do we solve the issue of illegal workers? What is the issue? So we have to ask these questions. And just because I'm asking these questions doesn't mean I'm for open borders and I want the crime and the fentanyl and the trafficking. Don't put me in that camp. I'm just asking these questions because it's important to get to root causes and really to try to solve these problems. So what is the issue? Why is it an issue if somebody's here working illegally? What is that issue? What's wrong with that? They just want to work. They want a better life. Well, here's some of the talking points that come up. You know, they're taking jobs away from Americans. What does that mean, taking jobs away from Americans? They're competing in the workforce. I thought we are for competition, right? We're for competition. We're not for creating barriers to entry. We're not for being a monopoly and not letting new people enter a marketplace, right? We're not for more regulations to weed other people out and not allow them. We're for competition. So you're saying maybe you're saying that, you know, they're taking jobs away from Americans. Well, what does that mean? Because the guy here illegally is getting paid $6 an hour, and that's below the minimum wage. So if you are here legally and you get a legal job, there's a minimum wage requirement that that's imposed upon your employer that he must pay. And someone who's here illegally is making $6 under the table. I don't blame them for that. Maybe the issue is that minimum wage law. Because if there wasn't a minimum wage law and that employer was allowed to hire anybody for $6 an hour, then maybe maybe our kids could do that. And when I say our kids, someone who's making that low of amount of money, it's because they don't have much experience. They're probably brand new in the workforce. They don't have a lot of skills. Because if you've got a lot of skills, you got a lot of experience, you're going to get jobs that pay more. I'm not just saying kids or whatever. But so maybe if there was no minimum wage law, maybe someone with low experience who's just starting out can actually compete with that person who's willing to work for $6 an hour. So maybe we increase competition. And the issue is not that they're here illegally. The issue is the minimum wage laws. Or maybe the issue is, or in addition to that, an issue is they're not paying taxes on that. It's under the table. Well, look, we all try to minimize our tax burden. The reason why we call it a tax burden is because it's a burden. We hired good tax accountants, CPAs or whatever, financial people to help us reduce our obligations, our tax obligations. That's not tax evasion. That's actual just smart. And why do they do that? Why do people do that? Why do you want to reduce your tax burden? It's because I don't want to pay more taxes. It's for a number of reasons. I don't want to pay into a system where it's filled with waste, fraud, and abuse, national debt, enslaving our children, enslaving ourselves and future generations to the spending habits of today. And a lot of what they're spending on, I disagree with on religious grounds, just from my own principles, my conscience. It's dirty of what they're doing with our money. So I don't bemoan somebody over here who doesn't want to pay into the system. Man, if I don't have the guts to do that because I'm afraid of the government. But look at my cup. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. But when the people fear the government, there's tyranny. We have that. We're afraid of the IRS. Everybody is. You don't pay into the system what you're supposed to, they're going to come after you, right? Even if you do pay in, they're still probably going to find a way to come after you. So I don't bemoan some guy over here has figured out a way to, you know, work under the table. God bless him. So maybe the issue is our tax code. It's not the fact that he's working. Maybe the issue is the tax code. But really, what is it about the tax code? Why are we upset about that? Hey, this guy's not, that's unfair. He's not paying into the system. Why is it not fair? Well, the other side of the system is the government benefits side. Because to me, yeah, welfare, you know, getting driver's licenses, getting ID, state IDs, this kind of thing, and being able to move about and go about, get it, and you know, education, being able to paying for scholarships and whatever, paying for illegals, education and hospital and healthcare and this kind of stuff. That's government. All of that is lumped into the government benefits bucket. It's not just welfare per se. But the issue here is they're not paying into the system. They're not paying taxes into the system, but they're getting benefits out. So is the problem that they are here working illegally? No. The problem is if you are here legally and you try to work, then minimum wage laws require this. And actually, you know what? If everyone who is here illegally actually followed the minimum wage laws, prices on the shelf would go up. So that's a problem. But here's the problem. They're not paying into the system and they're getting benefits out. Right? That's the problem. So the problem is the tax code, it's the minimum wage laws, the tax code, and the government benefits industry, if you will. It's not the fact that they're here illegally. So what if there was a way to change those things to where it doesn't matter if they're here illegally or not? Again, it's not a crime issue. That's a whole nother issue. There's big issues there with people being here doing crime and blah, blah, blah. But if they're just here to work, what is the issue? These are the issues. So what if there is a way where they could pay into the system and not get any benefits out? Then it really wouldn't matter, right? It wouldn't matter because we like competition. We don't want to impose things on employers, mandates and processes and minimum wages and this kind of stuff. So what are some of the solutions out there? One of them is the fair tax. And I'm going to have them on the show. I'm going to be talking in detail about the fair tax. I've done a lot of study on it. I like the first 90% of the argument. You got to repeal the 16th Amendment, which is the income tax, 1913. I have no idea. Speaking of slippery slopes, imagine back in 1913, if you told them what the IRS was going to become, if you told them what the 73,000 plus pages of tax code was going to become, if you told them what they were going to do with that, they would have called you crazy. But here we are. This is the reality of the situation. 1913, I'm sure it was just sold as, hey, we're just going to tax the 1% and they're only going to pay a small amount and whatever. I'm sure, you know, they pit one group in class warfare. It's for them. I promise you, we won't do anything more with that. And for other purposes, I'm sure that was in the bill that turned into the constitutional amendment. I'm sure it's and for other purposes, right? But here we are. So we're talking about E-Verify. They'll promise, we're just going to use it for illegals. We're just going to use it for this, right? I promise we're not going to combine it with the social credit system and the digital dollar and calling you essential and not essential. I'm sure that won't be the case, right? Well, anyways, with the fair tax, repeal the 16th Amendment, get rid of the IRS, and what they're saying is no more income tax. It'll be a national sales tax. Now, my issue with the fair tax is I don't agree with a 23% national sales tax. And I know that they say that the price on the shelf includes an embedded 22% income tax through the process. And once you eliminate the income tax, that goes down. Then you put a 23% national sales tax in there and the prices remain the same and you get your full paycheck. I get all of that. I just don't think the government deserves 23%. I don't like what they're spending their money. In fact, that HR 25 was developed in the 90s when a couple of years there, thanks to Newt Gingrich and the contract with America and all that, that they actually balanced budgets. You know, back when they were balancing budgets, that's when they came up with the fair tax and 23% national sales tax. I don't like that high of a number anyways. But what if, it's like in Florida, for example. In Florida, there's no state income tax. They have, what's the number, 50 million people visit Central Florida every year. All of those people who come to visit pay into the system. All the visitors, they buy their tickets, rent their cars. They have different tax rates and this kind of stuff for these different items. But everybody goes to the grocery store and buys groceries. Everybody buys your gallon of milk and buys your bread. Everybody will pay into the system. Does it matter if you're here illegally or not? Does it matter if you are part of the underground economy, if you're doing drugs and dealing drugs and prostitutes or whatever? Everybody pays into the system with a fair tax, with a national, or with a sales tax. Everybody pays into the system. So that's one way to fix that problem. And then the other side, what if the government benefits thing? What if you are not an American citizen, you can't get an ID? You can't get a driver's license. You can't have your kids go into the education system. You can't have your scholarships and your education paid for. And look, there's consequences to taking the risk of being here illegally. There's consequences to that. And one of them maybe is about health care. You're going to have to figure out a way to pay it. If you have to go into the emergency room, it's not just a burden that everybody else has to pay. Anyways, if there's like more strict things within the government benefit system, strict policies saying if you are here illegally, you're not getting any. You got to go through the system to get verified. But I just don't like the idea of a national database giving the federal government the power to determine who's allowed to work and who is not. And I don't like and for other purposes. I'd love to hear what you guys think about this. Go to jwhoyt.com. I'll send you all the show notes and a link to this show. I'd love to hear from you guys. Share this. Have a conversation with people about it, because everybody on the right, Republicans and everybody's like, E-Verify, illegals, can't have them work here, blah, blah, blah. I just don't think that's the answer. We've got to figure it. We've got to ask the tough questions to get to the root causes, to figure out, is there a better way to solve the problem than giving the government that much control? God bless you guys. Thanks.